Let's go on the record. Good evening. Let's come to order and go on record. I am Commissioner Tenola D. Brown Bland, the presiding commissioner for this hearing. With me by remote means are Commissioners Lyons Gray, Kimberly W. Duffley, Jeffrey A. Hughes, and Floyd B. McKissick Jr. I now call for hearing docket number W1314 sub 4 in the matter of application by Pluris Webb Creek LLC, 5950 Berkshire Lane, Suite 800, Dallas, Texas, 75225, for authority to adjust and increase rates for sewer utility service in all of its service areas in Onslow County, North Carolina. On April 27th, 2020, Pluris Webb Creek LLC, hereafter Pluris or applicant, or sometimes I may refer to them as company, filed an application with the commission seeking authority to adjust and increase its rates for sewer utility service in all of its service areas in Onslow County, North Carolina. Effective August 8, 2016, Pluris Webb Creek LLC was appointed by the commission as the emergency operator of the wastewater systems franchise to Webb Creek Water and Sewage Incorporated. Hereafter, I'll refer to the initial franchisee as Webb Creek. The Webb Creek wastewater system had a history of operational and maintenance issues and was not in compliance with state-required environmental standards and regulations when Pluris became the emergency operator. There were serious environmental compliance issues at that time. To further complicate the situation, the only known officer of Webb Creek was incarcerated and unable to operate Webb Creek. The Webb Creek utility owed over $2 million to the bank and owed taxes to Onslow County, such that the utility faced tax foreclosure actions. Due to these circumstances and many others, an emergency operator was needed, and Pluris was appointed to make sure sewer service continued and that the system was put in a position to comply with applicable law. It was ultimately determined that the old Webb Creek system could not be brought into full compliance, and so Pluris sought approval and was allowed to build a new plant, which serves the legacy Webb Creek service area and a nearby development known as the Pines. In this general rate case proceeding, Pluris, which is now the owner and operator of the utility, seeks to adjust its current rates to allow recovery of the capital improvements made and the reasonable operating expenses it found necessary to serve the customers. In its filed application, the company proposes to increase its monthly flat rate for residential customers from $37.69 to $73.38, and to charge the monthly base rate for commercial customers from $28.34 for all meter sizes to a monthly flat rate based on the size of the meter over the total revenue generated by the current rates. In addition, Pluris is proposing to increase the commercial customer's commodity charge from 1,000 gallons from $9.04 to $16.50. The company filed with its application the direct testimony of Maurice W. Gallarda and Daniel J. Winters. On May 26, 2020, the commission issued an order establishing general rate case and suspending proposed rates. On August 10, 2020, the commission issued an order scheduling hearings and requiring customer notice. That order set this public hearing for this day and time by remote means on September 23, 2020 at 6:30 p.m. for the purpose of receiving customer testimony, and scheduled the expert witness hearing to begin at 2 p.m. on Monday, November the 2nd, 2020. Either by remote means or in the commission hearing room in Raleigh, to be determined on or before October the 12th, 2020. Public staff whose intervention and participation on behalf of the using and consuming public is recognized pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 62-15D and Commission Rule R01-19E is a party in this proceeding. There are no other interveners. On August 17, 2020, the company filed a certificate of service verifying that all affected customers had been served with the required notice as ordered by the commission. Pursuant to the State Government Ethics Act, I remind members of the commission of our duty to avoid conflicts of interest and inquire at this time as to whether any commissioner has any known conflict of interest with respect to this docket. The record will reflect that no conflicts have been identified. I'll now call on the parties to announce their appearances for the record, beginning with the applicant, Pluris.
Good evening, Commissioner Brown Bland. Dan Higgins with Burns Day and Presnell, appearing for Pluris Webb Creek, LLC.
All right, and do you have others with you? Is your client with you?
Mr. Gallarda, Maurice Gallarda, is also attending, as is Mr. Randy Hoffer, who is the North Carolina Operations Manager.
All right. Thank you. The public staff.
Good evening, Presiding Chair Brown Bland and Commissioners and Mr. Higgins, others on here on the call tonight. My name is William Z. Creech. I'm a staff attorney with the public staff. Normally we would have attorneys and engineers in person, but of course we're virtual tonight, and we are virtually joined by Michael Franklin with the Water, Sewer, and Telephone Division of the public staff. He's an engineer, and I would, if I may, Presiding Chair Brown Bland, indicate that we will continue to talk to customers about service quality issues if they have any, and they in particular can contact Mr. Franklin via email at mike.franklin@psncuc.nc.gov and telephone at 919-733-5610. But again, thank you for having us this evening.
Mr. Creech, just once more, would you repeat the contact information?
Yes, thank you. It's Mike. The email address is mike.franklin@psncuc.nc.gov. The telephone number is 919-733-5610. Again, mike.franklin@psncuc.nc.gov and telephone 919-733-5610. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Council, do we have any preliminary matters that we need to address before we begin?
I'm not aware of any.
No, Mr. Creech, I understand that we already have 12 customers signed up for this evening. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Well, before we begin, before you call the first witness, just a little bit about our procedure for their benefit, assuming they are on the line and can hear me. To the customers, after your name is called and you have been unmuted by our WebEx host, I will seek your affirmation that your testimony will be the truth. And then Mr. Creech will go over preliminary questions to get you identified for the record. When he has done that, he will indicate that you are free to start providing your testimony or what it is that you want to say to the commission. And at that point, you will begin and you will have 3 minutes to testify and make your statement. Around the 2 minute mark, I'll try to be vigilant. You will be given an indication that will let you know you have 1 minute remaining and you should start to wrap up your remarks. When your time is up and you have completed your testimony, each of the parties, that is the public staff's Mr. Creech or Pluris's counsel, Mr. Higgins, will be able to ask you any questions that they may have pertaining to your testimony. Then the commissioners will have a similar opportunity to ask questions of you. These questions are not to embarrass you or challenge you, but are primarily to clarify your testimony for the record and to be sure that we understand what it is you want us to know. After the questions are answered, you will be excused from the virtual witness stand. You may continue to follow the hearing, If you should leave the phone call, you can stay on the line. But if you do, you'll be muted, and so we won't hear you after you've been excused. Or you may leave the hearing or the call if you wish, and you can attend. Or if you wish, you can attend by WebEx, or you can watch us on YouTube to be able to see what transpires and what others have to say. The links for that are on the first page of the commission's website, and you may have already received that website link in your customer notice, but that is at www.ncuc.net. Now, we are holding this public hearing tonight because we want to hear from you, and your views on Pluris's application are important and need to be heard. But this proceeding is in the nature of a court proceeding. We have a court reporter attending, and she will take down every word of this proceeding and will later produce a verbatim transcript of your testimony and all that is said during this hearing. You will provide your testimony as witnesses, and questions may be asked of you, but the commission is in the place of the judge, and as you are likely aware, the judge does not answer questions. Instead, the commission is here to listen. However, if you have questions, Mr. Creech, who is part of the public staff and actually represents you all as part of the using and consuming public, and Mr. Higgins, who represents Pluris, will tell you how to be in touch with them following this proceeding so they can assist you in having your questions or any service issues addressed. And the last thing that I'll say to you is about the public staff. Public staff is the advocate for the consumers, non-residential and residential, and they are the public staff means it's an independent organization, and they have their own experts, as Mr. Creech referenced an engineer a moment ago. They also have accountants, attorneys. They have experts that they bring to bear to help them in their representation of the public. And these experts will pore over the application to verify the information to see that it supports the company's application or not. And they will be filing their testimony. It happens to be due on Friday. And at that point, you will be able to see the position they're taking in this case by going to the commission's website. And if you enter the commission's or the docket number for this case, which is W1314-4, you follow it through, you'll be able to go there and see all the testimony that has been pre-filed in the case, including what it is the public staff may have to say about the case. As I say, that is due on Friday. I think that's enough to get us started. So, Mr. Creech, you may call your first witness.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our first witness tonight, and we actually have not seen his number come up quite yet, is Anthony Cardinal. Mr. Cardinal, are you on the line?
Creech, this is Dan in IT. He has not joined. The first witness on your list is the fourth one down that I do have confirmation on joining, and I can unmute them if you're fine to proceed.
That would be David Cote or Cott?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if that's all right, we will, Madam Chair, we would like to see if we can call upon those witnesses if they do join us here shortly.
We will come back to them.
Okay. David, are you on the line?
Yes, it's David Cody.
Cody. Thank you, Mr. Cody.
Mr. Cody, do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, Mr. Creech.
Mr. Cody, will you please state and spell your name for the record, and then also provide your physical address as well as your subdivision, please?
David L. Cody, C-O-T-E, last name. Fox Trace is a subdivision, and the address is 503 Nuffield Drive. I'm not sure if that was the order of the questions you asked.
Thank you, and that's in Hubert, North Carolina?
Correct.
And Mr. Cody, did you have a statement that you wanted to provide to the commission this evening?
I do.
Please proceed.
So I'm honored to kind of have this first act here. I appreciate everybody's time. and its information process here. I'm kind of torn on how to present this material. It's not so much factual based. I do have some facts. I didn't dig into this like some of the other counterparts I know that are probably going to testify. But what is the anticipated rate increase for the duration? Because I understand, you know, expenses get paid after a certain time period. And if I'm not mistaken, Burris was a volunteer for this emergency appointment, per se. So they probably knew what they were getting into before they volunteered for it, I would assume. I believe that in some of the documents that I had read stated they did maybe 1 to 2 site surveys. So they might have seen what was going to happen. I see this rate increase, and I look at it, and I understand that Forest had just built a park for the not the community, which a lot of people thought it was for, but it was donated to the county, which was kind of a slap in the face for, you know, the community to think that, you know, hey, they're doing a great thing, they're building a park, and they handed it over to the county. This is private property, but yet it was given to the county. So we're on the hook to maintain these roads and these streets. And yet the county has access to this park that Porras has established. You know, mind you, it's only a couple swings and a picnic table, nothing glamorous, but just the whole, it's kind of insulting. I also understand that Porras is a donator to the Fish Strong Foundation, and they're a Diamond Plus rating, meaning to be at the diamond level, that has to be at least $5,000 in contribution to make that mark. And if they have enough money to donate property and parks to the county and be at the diamond level to donate to the Fish Strong Foundation, it seems like there are no fail business model, and they can push their rates down on the consumers. It doesn't matter how bad they fail, they're just going to pass it off to the homeowner who's paying for the service and has no choice but to pay for Pluris's services. It's just kind of mind-blowing to me. And I get it. You know, clean water back into the community, protect the environment, they're all important things. A 95% increase. I'm held accountable. Pluris isn't held accountable for my bad decision-making and my finances. If I want to put a new roof on my house, and I go with the most expensive roof there is and put a $20,000 metal roof, that's my fault. I could have easily done it for less than 10 grand with some 3-tab shingles. It seems excessive to have such a high dollar water treatment facility for 1,500 consumers, knowing that they're not going to fail and they're just going to pass that rate down to their you know, the homeowner.
Mr. Cody, your time is up.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, hold on a minute. Let's see if we have questions for you. Mr. Higgins, do you have any questions for Mr. Cody?
I don't have any questions for Mr. Cody.
Mr. Creech?
None other than to thank you, Mr. Cody. Appreciated your comments.
All right. Any questions from commissioners? Hey, Mr. Cody, I would just ask, you made a reference to the possibility that the company may have been able to supply its service for less. Do you have any evidence or reason to believe they could have done so?
I don't, and I wish I did. I wish I was an engineer and could come up with that dollar amount that they're associating with the whole new plant, and I don't have quantifiable numbers. I'm not well educated, but I, no, to answer your question, no, I do not.
All right. I thank you for that. Now, Mr. Cody, as I indicated earlier, the public staff will look into it, and they will have engineers to look into it. So they will help us understand what the application is all about here. So we'd like to thank you for coming out. There are no questions for you, so you may be excused. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
I'm sure the next witness, and Dan, you can confirm, the next witness that we'd like to call is Amy Clifton. Amy, are you on the line, Ms. Clifton?
Mr. Creech, the next witness I have confirmed on the line is Robert Shake.
Right, my apologies. Mr. Shake, are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Shake, do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
You.
All right, Mr. Creech.
Mr. Shake, good evening. If you could please state and spell your name for the record and also provide your physical address as well as your subdivision, please.
Robert Shake. S-H-A-K-E, Fox Trace Subdivision, and my physical address is 303 Fox Ridge Lane in Hubert, North Carolina, 28539.
Thank you, Mr. Shake. And you have a statement you'd like to provide for the commission this evening.
Yes, sir.
Please proceed.
I'm going to talk fast. Thank you for this time. The rate increase is excessive by industry standards, and it serves to minimize actual future profits by holding 1,358 residents hostage to an unfair monopoly. I'm asking the commission to side with both Flores and the residents in a middle ground rate increase of $58.38, which would still be an increase of over 55%. I'm going to state two real quick things. The MVR system, I believe, is necessary. The rate increase is actually necessary, but a fair rate increase is what is necessary. $20 increase for the residents and $15 from the proposed rates. Let's meet in the middle. Here's the reasons why. Polaris is stating that the rate of return requested is 6.56%, and they're using Aqua's recent approval to say that this is a reasonable rate to the commission. However, I would say is that the 95% increase does, and they didn't have a 95% increase, and it did not break the $70 value. According to UNC Chapel Hill, North Carolina, 2020 water and wastewater rates, median in this area is $38, and the max is $48, meaning that the over $73 rate increase is well outside the excess of the industry standards. Number two, the rate of return of 6.5% is, according to Mr. Winter's financial accounting, has Burris's equity of $2.7 million in the construction in progress is actually receiving 9.6% rate of return if this rate is approved, where the cost of long-term debt is only 4.11%. A rate increase of $58.38 would bring the return of equity on Flores is $2.7 million back to that norm of 4.1% or approximate there of long-term debt. In addition, and this is the third and final reason, very important, the capacity of the MBR is actually 1,800, but there's only 1,358 current users. Now, they will add more users to this, but they're not annotating that in their rate return that they will get in the future. They added 271 users in 2019. They will add more users to the capacity of this rate. And what I'm asking for is the 1,800 users to spread load the rate of return so they can get a fair and value return. 442 users deficiency on this current system. $309,000 in pure profits at the $58.38 return, bringing the rate of return overall in this proposal is 11.4%, and Pluris's personal rate of return over 17% on their equity. That's above, and that's not fair market. I'm asking the Utilities Commission to find for the residents and with Pluris where we both can have the win-win, and we can meet right in the middle where it actually should be. And I don't understand why this hasn't been already evaluated and the financial accounting been scrutinized to this degree.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Shake. Are there any questions, Mr. Higgins?
No, ma'am.
Creech?
Please. Madam Chair, Mr. Shake, you had emailed to the public staff late today, and I forwarded on to counsel for the commission as well as company counsel a statement that is headed as final and correct submission, a consumer statement of position. Is that something you would like to have part of the record this evening?
Yes, please, sir. It 3 minutes isn't enough to cover all the details that I would like to have had, but that statement does absolutely, if you can make part of the record, I would appreciate it.
Presiding Chair Brown Bland, I would propose that I also share this with the court reporter and have this marked as Shake Exhibit 1, if that's possible.
It will be so identified and received into the record. Are there questions from the commissioners? Mr. Creech, are you done? Did you have any questions?
Just thank you for your statement and both verbal and written, Mr. Shake. Thank you.
All right. Do any of the commissioners have questions for this witness? All right. Mr. Shake, we appreciate you coming out. You made a comment that you didn't understand why it hadn't already been looked into, but a part of information that I usually give out, and I did not this time, would have explained to you that this is just part of the process. Once the application is filed, it follows a process, and as I indicated, the public staff will be filing their position, looking into perhaps some of these things that you have raised, and they will file their position on Friday. So they are looking into it, and the timing is just such that the public hearing comes before that so that we can also hear from you and have what the customers have to say, be able to take it into account when we take into account the other information that will be filed in the docket. So that is the answer to that question. All right. There are no further questions from you, so you may be excused.
Very much.
You're welcome. Screech?
Dan, is Debbie Phillips on the line?
Yes, sir. I have Debbie Phillips on the line. She's available.
Ms. Phillips, good evening.
Phillips, can you hear us?
May need to unmute Ms. Phillips.
I believe the host would unmute her.
Right.
Phillips, are you with us? Does she appear to be with us, Mr.?
I have two phone numbers with the same six digits, so we may have a Daniel. I don't want to mispronounce the last name, but it's your last witness who has the same first six digits of his phone number. It might be Daniel that is on the line now.
That would be Daniel Zwolka. Let's come back to him if we can then.
Okay.
Next, I do believe that we have Karen Zorns on the line.
Yes, sir. Let me unmute her.
Ms. Zorns, are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Ms. Zorns, yes. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, Mr. Creech, you're a witness.
Thank you. Ms. Zorns, if you can please state and spell your name for the record and also provide your physical address as well as your subdivision, please.
Karen Zorns, Zornes, 156 Parnell Road, Hubert, North Carolina, Fox Trace Division.
Thank you, Ms. Zorns. And did you have a statement that you wanted to provide to the commission this evening?
Yes. I want to thank Clarice for taking over. We appreciate what they've done so far, but I do apologize that I'm not sure that I heard or if there had to be a public hearing notice about building a new plant. I've looked over the documents, and I understand that the plant was in bad shape, but what I'd like to know is if there was any possible way that the tank could have been repaired, if the equipment could have been repaired, replaced, at maybe a cheaper cost. Because you're only dealing with 1,358 customers. And since this was an emergency appointment that was taken over, did anybody look into a possible grant to rebuild this? There was a bond on the plant. I understand that they used it. There is now a $200,000 bond on the plant. But is that enough? And what will stop? How will we keep from this happening again? Somebody taking over, not being responsible. I'm not sure who is responsible for watching over the sewer plants, but either the county, the state, somebody didn't do their job when the previous owner had this place. And so with that, why are they not being part of the payment plan? They should have followed through. They did not. And have all the means of collecting any assets from this previous owner that been exhausted, that it could go towards the new plant. I understand that there's about 50 homes that are not paying or that are vacant. That means that down the road, they'll need another increase because they'll have to recoup those people that are not paying and the homes that are empty. I would like to know what the annual operating cost is normally for the plant without the $5 million to rebuild it included. They say that they have increased the payment plan for us, which is a way for them to really make sure they get their money, and that they have better communication, which is not necessarily true because I called and wanted to know some things about the roads, and I was just put off and told to call the county instead of somebody speaking to me. They emailed me, and I had to keep on calling and emailing to get an answer. Web Creek used to help with the paving of the roads and cleaning out the ditches, and now Pluris does not. So why are they not helping if that was Pluris, if that was Web Creek's job at one time? And my last comment is that I do not know anywhere in the state where a sewer amount is this high that at least, that does not include water, at least. I don't know how many years they're looking to repay themselves back, but can't it be put over a longer period of time, like 10 years instead of 5 years? And people have, you know, this is a pandemic. People have lost their jobs. People are hurting. It's an awful lot of money to be asking for something that not so sure something else could have been done or rebuilt a little bit cheaper.
All right, Ms. Lawrence, your time is up, and thank you. Mr. Higgins, do you have questions for this witness?
No, ma'am, I do not.
Mr. Creech?
Mrs. Owens, thank you so much for your comments tonight. You had a number of questions that you hoped that the company could, or that you would like to get answered, and you were wondering whether, just to confirm your questions, you were wondering whether the customers had received notice that about the scale of the plant. Is that correct?
I don't remember ever hearing anything about the plant wanting to rebuild. I would think that we would have gotten a public hearing notice that they wanted to do this and that we would have some sort of say in that. I don't know politically what is correct and not correct, but I assume that we would get some sort of notice that they were building a new plant. That we could ask, hey, have you done everything possible to verify you can't replace these tanks? You can't replace these pieces of equipment that are damaged? Wouldn't that be cheaper? I mean, 1,358 people to pay for a $5 million plant is a lot.
And that's the third comment in a row that we've had this evening. So would you say I just note that. So thank you for that, Ms. Zorns. You had several other questions.
I just want to make sure that $200,000 bond is enough to cover whatever might happen in the future with what the past owner did. Somebody is supposed to be overseeing these sewer plants, so somebody has failed in their job to do that, that man got away with not paying his bill. And why are we the ones that have to count the cost? You know? Isn't the county or the state responsible? Isn't there a grant they could have used? Something.
And you had some other questions, but one of the final questions that you had related to the amount that's being charged in this instance, and how does that compare to other customers across the state? Is that correct?
Yes, I don't know of anybody that has a $74 bill for just sewer. I did see that there were some a little bit higher rates, but they included water. So this doesn't even include our water bill. Really kind of outrageous. And why can't it just be over a 10-year or a longer period of time to recoup their finances?
All right.
Thank you.
Is that for you, Mr. Creech?
Yes, thank you.
Any questions from the commissioners? All right. So, as we appreciate you coming out and speaking with us this evening, and
you can
certainly follow these proceedings and see what the public staff has to say as early as Friday.
Thank you.
And you are excused. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is Alberta talking Hulk on the line?
They were, but it looks like they disconnected.
Although I see they may have come back on. Is that possible, caller 4?
1033.
I'm wrong.
No, that's a different witness, sir. I'm not seeing anything coming up with their call-in information for that individual.
Who do you have? We may need to come back to that. Who do you have next on the list, please?
I believe it is the last witness, Daniel. I have a matching phone number. At least the first 6 are matching.
Correct.
So I can unmute them now for confirmation.
Thank you. Daniel, are you on the line, Mr. Swoka?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, Mr. Creech.
Mr. Swoka, good evening. If you can please state and spell your name for the record, as well as provide your physical address and subdivision, please.
My first name is Daniel. Last name is Swoka, Swoka. I live at 167 Parnell Road in Hubert, North Carolina, in the Fox Creek subdivision.
Mr. Creech?
And Mr. Swoka, do you have a statement you'd like to provide for the commission this evening?
Yes.
Proceed.
Okay. Yeah, my concern on this is currently the massive increase from 37 up to almost $80 increase in the service. I've lived here since 93, and I've seen the rate start at $25, and then a few years ago, under the emergency injunction, the state approved them to go up to $37 and change, and now they're asking for a large increase. I'm not so naive to believe that companies can't function without increases. Certainly they can, and to update the facilities and maintain them, they do from time to time. You need to have rate increases.
Mr. Swoka,
yes.
Could you just speak up a little bit? Let's make sure our court reporter is able to hear you.
Okay.
Thank you. Continue.
Okay. My ear, they're both loud in my ear. Okay. The big increase in the price has really concerned me. And, the other thing, too, is Is this very expensive plant intended just to service Fox Trace and the pines, or do they have plans to extend services elsewhere with this plant, with the capability that it has? And I know, you know, I start, when I moved in here, I knew the developer, which was also the guy that run the plant, and all the time I knew him, he was a shoddy operator, and he left us not only with a bad plant that had to be taken over after being so delinquent, but also he also gifted us the private streets out here, private roads, and a lot of disrepair. So we're having to look at that too as private citizens too. There's no federal funding, there's no state funding, there's no county money, and there's no grants, and there's no as we know, no miracle, so it's going to have to come out of our pocket. Is it over?
Yeah, you have a minute.
Okay. All right. Now, Players has helped us quite a bit since they've been here. They haven't done so much in the last probably 6 months, but, you know, because they knew how bad our situation was out here, and also some of our street problems. They seem to be community oriented as well, and you know they did build that nice little park. Although they turned it over to the county, the county will take good care of that, and they will not be a nuisance. I used to work with around the boards that take care of the parks, and they're a wonderful bunch of people, and the county is proud to keep the parks nice, so I don't think that'll be an issue. But that's my biggest concern is, you know, the rate, because of the limited income out here for the residents and retirees.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Creech.
Only one clarifying question. You trailed off there at the end. Did you indicate you're a retiree? Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, very good. All right. Thank you, Mr. Schwoll.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Higgins, do you have any questions for this witness?
Ma'am, I do not.
Mr. Creech?
No further questions at this time.
And commissioners, any questions? All right, Mr. Swokula, we appreciate you coming out to tell us what you think about this application and some of your concerns, and you are excused. You may leave.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's go back from the top of the list and see if we have any others who haven't been able to testify yet.
I have confirmed, I believe it is Ms. Phillips that has reconnected. I do have two phone numbers out there, so I'm going to unmute the one in which I believe is Ms. Phillips. She is now unmuted.
Ms. Phillips, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Ms. Phillips, do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Mr. Creech.
Ms. Phillips, good evening. If you can please state and spell your name for the record, as well as provide your physical address and subdivision, please.
Debbie Phillips, D-E-B-B-I-E. Phillips, P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S. I live in the Fox Trace subdivision in Hubert, North Carolina. My address is 437 Dion Drive.
Thank you, Ms. Phillips. And do you have a statement you'd like to provide for the commission this evening?
Yes, sir.
You go ahead.
The stockholders in this company, in the Pluris Web Creek LLC, are they not at all been contacted, would be interested in donating any money towards this building of this new plant to help reduce the cost? And also, I have Googled online, and there are plenty of grants that are available. And my question is, could they not have applied for a grant in the building of this new plant
to help, you know, in the cost of this, or to offset some of this cost. Also, referring to case law here, Article 7, 62-131 and 62-132, it states that the public relies on the North Carolina Utilities Commission to increase and to be fair with all intentions of any utility company requesting for an increase. So I am asking that the Utilities Commission, by all means, listen and take into consideration all the witnesses that have spoken here tonight, you know, for various reasons. And, of course, some of mine were some of the ones that have already been stated. It is a large jump. It is a most inopportune time. People are struggling from COVID. And if you also will refer to the North Carolina Water and Wastewater Rates website, this is not a normal increase. However, Pluris has come in as emergency operator. They did have to dig through a lot. The purchase of the plant due to the previous owner, which I do understand. They are a community-oriented company. They have done a lot of good things. We would like to see them, you know, extend out more to us, you know, and helping us out. We are a military military community. You know, we can't even supply our military men and women in uniform with decent roads out here. And then on top of that, here comes a rate increase in our sewer. But I think the priorities are a little bit, need to be readjusted. And hopefully a compromise between the Utilities Commission, the consumers, and Pluris Rev Quick can be made where there's a happy medium in this.
All right, Mr. Cage.
I just wanted to clarify one question. Ms. Phillips, thank you. One of the questions that you had for the company was whether the company was able to or availed itself of possible grant applications or applied for grants.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Higgins, do you have questions for this witness?
Ma'am, I don't have any questions for Ms. Phillips.
All right, any questions from the commissioners? All right, I'm not seeing any. So, Ms. Phillips, we thank you, and thank you for your patience in getting back on. We're glad we had the opportunity to hear from you. Again, as I've indicated to some of the others, please continue to follow these proceedings. You'll be hearing more from the public staff later this week. And you're excused. Thank you for coming out.
And thank you.
All right. Do we have other witnesses?
Madam Chair, Mr. Creech, this is Dan in IT. I have gone back through the witness list, and no one else is connected to the WebEx meeting at this time. I can take a pause and re-verify here in another minute if you would like.
Is there anyone on that you need to unmute that hadn't already testified?
Is it possible that, Dan, is it possible that the 910-330 number is Alberta Hawk, and we just have a wrong prefix there? What I had received and what I believe is the case is 333, but I wonder if that is just was a typo on their part.
Or Alberta Hawk, let me verify. So,
the two 910-330s.
910-330.
That's not. I'm just wondering if that was a typographical error that we received.
Yes, sir. So I do have confirmation of 910-330. They are connected on the line. I can unmute them for confirmation.
I see who it is.
witness is unmuted.
Good evening. Would you mind indicating who this is? Hello? This is Alberta? 910-330 number. Okay. And there's one other. Same number, same prefix, user 2. We unmute them?
That's the one I just unmuted.
I'm sorry, I was looking at 2 and 4 appeared to have the same first six numbers to me.
Yes, sir. I'm unmuting caller number 4 right now.
Thank you. The 910-330, would you mind please indicating who this is?
Hello?
Hello? Is this Alberta?
No, this is Arlene Spear. A 910-330 number.
Very good. Arlene, did we have you registered? I don't believe we had you registered for the hearing this evening, did we?
Yes, I received a confirmation by email.
And
Did you state your last name for me?
Yes, Spear.
Spear?
S is in Sam, P is in Paul, E is in Eagle, H A R. 130 Charleston Road.
Just a moment. I just wanted to give you your affirmation. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right. Now, Mr. Creech will do the honors and get you identified for the record.
All right.
Ms. Spear, thank you for being on the call this evening. I appreciate you being with us. Can you please, again, state and spell your name for the record, as well as provide your physical address and your subdivision, please?
Yes, it's Arlene, A-R-L-E-N-E, Spear, S is in Sam, P is in Paul, E is in Eagle, H-A-R, at 130 Charleston Road, Hubert, North Carolina, 28539, Fox Trace Point.
And thank you, Ms. Spear. Did you have a comment you cared to provide to the commission this evening?
Yes, I have 4 questions. The first question is, why didn't Pluris apply for a grant? And there are several out there that are out there for to improve infrastructure. And why couldn't we have hooked up to Onwaso? And 3, a utility operating rate is 1.0 to break even. I would like to know what Pluris operating rate is. And I would also like to know, there were 495 infractions on Webb Creek since 1995, and I would like to know why no one stepped in before this all happened, and now we're paying for it. 1,500 residents are paying for someone else's mistake. That's all I have to say.
All right. Ms. Creech, do you have any further questions?
Very well stated. Thank you, Ms. Spear. No questions.
Mr. Higgins?
No, ma'am. I don't have any questions.
And commissioners? All right, I'm not seeing questions from the commissioners. Ms. Spear, you indicated about the break-even rate. Could you tell us where you got that information?
Got it online on North Carolina website. State.
Do you know which website or agency?
No, I'd have to go back to my records.
All right. And with regard to the grants, we've heard several people mention that grants were available. Do you know, can you identify for the record any of the grants that you're looking at?
Yeah, I got written down.
All right.
The first one was Moxville and Davie County. They got $2 million for sewer for rebuilding their infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one, $1.5 million given to Johnston County, North Carolina, on 42720.
All right. And did you know the source of those funds?
The North Carolina. I only went to the North Carolina government website.
Okay. All right. Are there any follow-up questions on commission's question? Not seeing any.
No, ma'am.
All right, Ms. Biard, thank you for your persistence in getting on, and I'm glad you were able to come on and share your questions with us. Again, continue to follow this proceeding. And
we will.
And I believe the hearing was set for November 2nd, so we haven't made a decision whether that will be in person or by remote. Good possibility it may be remote, but we'll make that decision by October 12th, so you can continue to follow them. All right, thank you. Is there anything else to come before the commission before we adjourn this public hearing?
Madam Chair, good evening. This is William Creech again. I did want to indicate that it appears that we did have approximately seven individuals who had indicated they would be calling in but had not, and they don't appear. I don't see. I just want to confirm with Mr. Birkbickler, Dan Birkbickler, our IT professional, whether anyone has raised their hand, either a Bolter Hawk, Elizabeth and Ryan, Newendurf, Jennifer Crafante, Amy Clifton, Brian Allen, Charles Aaron Smith, or Anthony Cardinal. I'm not seeing any additional telephone numbers that have not been unmuted that would indicate that that's who they are. But those seven individuals, if they are on the call, we don't know that. We don't know that. Do you, Dan? Can you confirm that?
Yes, sir. I'm going through the list now. I just pinged every number you gave me again, a verification, and there was no one else online.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I think Alberta Hook was another.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, Madam Chair.
All right. Well, it seems that we've come to an end, and we've heard from everybody who's been able to join us and wishes to be heard. So with that said, we will adjourn this public hearing. Thank you all for your participation.